Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is the Coast to Coast Radio Show. I'm your host, Ron Fitch, and today we're going to talk about NFL football, all the big games in the NCAA, and a little Major League Baseball playoff talk. First, I want to talk about the NFL, and we'll talk about the surprise team of the NFL, and that's the Atlanta Falcons, who have put together. Dan Quinn has got that Atlanta Falcon team really rolling. They played the Carolina Panthers. They beat the Carolina Panthers 48-33. I like how they came out. Jacob Tammy scoring, Devontae Freeman scoring from Matty Ice, who's really good. And then the Carolina had an interception return, but the Falcons came right back and took a 24-10 lead. Austin Hooper caught a 45-yard pass on Matt Ryan. He faked the entire team. Matt Ryan rolls out to the right, throws it left. And then they score again on Aldrick Robinson's 35-yard pass on Matt Ryan. They were up 31-10. Then he went up 34-10. And then Cam Newton gets hurt after they score a touchdown on a two-point conversion. And then Greg Olsen gets a pass from Derek Anderson. Carolina comes back. Derek Anderson's a capable backup. But then Julio Jones, who had 300 yards receiving, scored a 75-yard touchdown pass from Matt Ryan, put the game away. They win. Matt Ryan had 500 yards of total offense, just obliterated Carolina's defense. I know Ron Rivera's not happy about that. And Atlanta's defense was okay. Did what they had to do. They're opportunistic. Mike Freeney still gets to the passer. It's not the best defense, so you could still score on Atlanta, but the way they're running the ball with Devontae Freeman and Julio Jones, and then you got Sanu and Jacob Tammy giving Julio Jones help, and Matt Ryan is very comfortable playing like the Matt Ryan earlier in his career. The Falcons are the team right now. They're playing like they're the best team in the NFC South, and they're going to be competitive. I got to see more out of their defense. Now, Carolina Panthers are 1-3, and I didn't like the attitude they took starting the year. I thought they were too playful. I think they have to get serious. I know Cam Newton does what he does. I'm not going to get on about that. Just the rest of the team and the attitude. I'll give you an example. They played Minnesota, and Pitt again fumbles, crucial fumble. So he looks at the official and the next time and says, I'm taking this one back. And he's laughing about the fumble previously. And he has a good return. But just the attitude, they have to kind of calm down a little bit with the vaudeville acts of the end zone and get serious because it looks like a Super Bowl hangover. And they better be lucky Tampa is struggling. And they're only dealing with the Saints one, but they're not going to be a factor, I don't think. They don't play any defense. They're going to have to deal with the Falcons, and the Falcons are confident they can beat Carolina. Carolina, I think, will improve because they're too good. But the problem with Carolina is, without Josh Norman, they don't have the secondary help they need. They figure their front seven with Keekly and Johnson, all those guys can come in and get to the passer. But you still have to have – and you got to shut that corner. Why don't you just sign him and keep him? You had to figure out a way to franchise him. You had to figure out a way to keep him. And he didn't. And he's playing for the Washington Redskins, and they could have used Josh Norman. He fit in with Carolina in their chemistry. The other game was the Seattle Seahawks play of the Jets. And Seattle, this was Russell Wilson, even though he was hurt, this is Russell Wilson at his finest, playing the best football of his career. He threw an 8-yard pass to C.J. Spiller, who will help in the running game. And then Tanner McElroy got a pass from Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson spreads the floor. I mean, he's like a point guard out there. And the fact that he couldn't run, it doesn't matter anymore because now he can throw the ball in the pocket. And then Richard Sherman has a big in it. Now, Brandon Marshall had a good first half against Richard Sherman. Second half, Richard Sherman got the better of him. And he let everybody know, too. And they won 27-17. And it looks to me like Seattle's that team that beat.
if they could put together. They look like the best one, the best teams in the NFC. Arizona's struggling, losing to the Rams, and Carson Palmer got hurt, but he was throwing interceptions. The Rams are 3-1. I just don't think they could sustain it. I think they're a lot much better. I don't know if you could ride Case Keenum to a division title, but maybe because of a hot start and the way Greg Williams' defense is playing physical and Jeff Fisher, maybe they could ride their momentum to a wild card with a good start. They're one of the surprise teams in the NFL. Also, I Buffalo beating New England. New England didn't have Brady. They're their third-string quarterback. I give Buffalo credit for going into Foxborough. You got to figure when Brady comes back and they play in Buffalo, that they're going to wipe the Bills up. The other game I want to talk about is the Oakland Raider game. And Raiders beating the Baltimore Ravens, they never, in the Ravens' history in Baltimore, the Raiders have never flew cross country and won a game in Baltimore. My eyes are open to this team. Carr had 199 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. Superior play. And this was a game that any other Raider team would lose when they're getting pushed around on the road and bad things happen and they still found a way to win. It's 14-6 Raiders. Flacco has a 2-yard run, 14-12 Raiders. And then Crabtree, who's having the best year of his career, who's really playing good. I didn't like him on the Niners. I thought he was a little overrated. Right now he is not. He is playing good. Him and Cooper are terrific together. And Crabtree caught 2 touchdowns. He caught a big touchdown at the end of the game. When the Ravens took the lead, you thought this was going to be another Raven win at home. They're going to pull out another rabbit out of hat. The Raiders come back and score. And I thought it was too soon when it was 28-27. Here comes Flacco. You know they got one of the best kickers in the league in Tucker. But the Raiders stand and stop Baltimore at the 50-yard line. They turn the ball over downs, and they come back and win. And I saw that locker room. They were emotional. They're 3-1. They're right behind the Denver Broncos, who beat up on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I picked Tampa stupidly. You know what? With Tampa, I'm going to tell you something. I think they missed Lovie Smith. You're in such a hurry to get rid of Lovie Smith. That chemistry was good. You didn't have to get rid of Lovie Smith. That didn't make any sense to do that. But they got rid of Lovie Smith, and they're paying the price. The Broncos were solid. Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian got hurt, but he threw a touchdown pass. Paxton Lynch comes in, and Kubiak dials up the correct plays for Paxton Lynch, and they keep the train moving, and their defense is big time. That line, and then Tlaib getting 2 interceptions, and what Tlaib is good at, especially when he's playing against a younger quarterback, he's good at jumping routes. And he was able to do that twice against Jameis Winston. And Jameis is struggling. I thought he'd be a little better, but it's a long year. I think he'll be fine. But I just wonder losing Lovie Smith. I wonder if they were in such a hurry to replace him with their assistant. And maybe he's a good offensive guru. We don't know what kind of coach he is. And maybe Tampa jumped the gun with that. But it remains. I mean, it's a 4-game sample size. But we'll see. But Denver, they're doing what they're supposed to do. And I had Denver the best team in the league still. Best team in the AFC. I know people were talking about New England. Brady be back and New England to be up there. But Denver believes they could beat New England because they've beaten New England twice in the playoffs. New England beat them with Tebow a couple years ago, about 5 or 6 years ago. And then Denver beat them twice. And if Denver has home field advantage playing New England, they're going to beat them a third time, even with Brady, because they know if they get pressure on Brady, they can beat them. I don't know. See, if New England had a dynamic running game, that would be problematic. But Blunt is a straight-ahead runner. He's a power runner, but not the kind that could hurt Denver. You've got to have a balanced offense, and you've got to have a dynamic quarterback. You have dynamic receivers that can get free on Harris, and Tlaib is not easy. And Denver is the team to beat. and they're still hungry. I respect that. There's no hangover because they won the Super Bowl. They're trying to get back. And now with Oakland and Denver good, that renews that rivalry. I think that's really good for the league. Kansas City got blown out by Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh, they were due. They were mad. They got blown out. Ben throws 5 touchdown passes. Kansas City is not as bad as it looked yesterday. Pittsburgh came out flying. Like I told everybody on this show that Pittsburgh is a great home team. I do want to see more on the road. They got the Jets next week. The Jets are going to be desperate. Pittsburgh's going to be desperate because they're going to want to keep winning. So I think that's going to be a really good game because you got two desperate teams fighting it out at home. Pittsburgh, it's good that they're going to be home. The Jets, even if they lose to Pittsburgh, I don't think they're out of it. Because I watched a 1-5 Kansas City Chiefs team come back and handle their business. So I was impressed with the Denver Broncos, the Seattle Seahawks, the Atlanta Falcons, and yeah, the Dallas Cowboys, because even though the Niners aren't as good, I like the way the Cowboys won. The way the Cowboys won impressed me. Dak Prescott shows his leadership. He shows how solid he is as a quarterback. I like his leadership. And I also like he's not just a game manager. He's just smart. 245 yards, 23 of 32. He's not going down the field. But they don't have to because Ezekiel Elliott, I wasn't sure how good he was going to be coming out of college because he seemed like a straight-ahead runner with power and speed. But he has enough shiftiness that impresses me. And that line is giving him time, and they didn't even need Dez Bryant yesterday because it was ground and pound. Alfred Morris, a great compliment. You know, you still got Witten there, and Dez will be back. What do you do now if Romo comes back? I believe if you want to go far in the playoffs, you do have to play Romo, but you have Dak Prescott. So if Romo gets hurt again, or if he comes out and he doesn't have it anymore, you got Dak Prescott. But I think just because Romo has experience and you have a chance to have a really good year with the defense is playing better. Claiborne's playing better at corner. Claiborne used to get torched. He looks like he's improving because he was great at LSU in college. But I see a lot of good things in Claiborne, and they're playing with a little more of a physical chip on their shoulder. So I do like how the Dallas Cowboys are playing. I'm still going to be stubborn and pick the Giants to win the division. They got a tough game against Minnesota tonight. It's a tough matchup because they can get after you. And the Giant offensive line is still developing. And Minnesota has a heck of a pass rush. Xavier Rhodes versus Odell Beckham is a great matchup. Beckham was suspended last year, so we didn't get to see this. But we get to see Rhodes versus Beckham. I have a feeling, I have a suspicious feeling that the Giants are going to have a big-time game tonight. Their defense is going to get after Bradford, who's not as mobile. They're better because, you know, you got Diggs and Rudolph. You have to deal with that, even though Peterson's out. The Giants still, my head is telling me Minnesota. My heart is telling me the Giants are going to figure out a way to pull off an upset. I'm in betwixt and in between in that situation. But that's the NFL landscape. Now I want to talk about college football and two of the greatest games I saw this year, maybe in the last 4 or 5 years, was the Tennessee-Georgia game and the Louisville-Clemson game. Big-time games. First, I want to go to Louisville and Clemson. It was a great game with some big mistakes that were costly. Louisville takes control of the game with an 82-yard, 11-play drive with Jeremy Smith with a 1-yard run. Lamar Jackson was terrific. But Lamar Jackson, they hiked the snap and they fumbled the snap. One of the biggest plays in the game because the defense had Deshaun Watson tamed. The way Louisville was flying off the ball and But what happened is they gave up the short field to Clemson. Clemson scores to tie it, and Clemson gets full momentum. They score. They go on a 28-3 run. Especially that score at the end of the half, four plays, 73 yards in 32 seconds, was a dagger. With Artavius Scott, who had a really big game, scoring on a 5-yard touchdown. Louisville comes back. James Quick, 8-yard pass from Jackson. Then they get a field goal. Then Lamar Jackson was just terrific on this one drive where he scores on a 1-yard run. He made a play where he darted back left. He darted back right. I think it was like a 40-yard run. And he was terrific running and throwing. Then they take the lead on a play 62-yard drive, and you're thinking they're really taking over. Then they come back and get an interception by Alexander, who had a great game. Four plays, 56-yard drive. It's 36-28, and Clemson is on the ropes. But Scott has a big, big kickoff return. It was one of the biggest kickoff returns in the game. Deshaun Watson gets his bearings right because they had shut him down for a while. And he throws a 20-yard pass to Mike Williams, and they're close. But Louisville has a chance in the fourth quarter to put the game away. And this was one of the bigger moments of the game. Carlos Watkins stops Jackson on third down, and they have to punt the ball back. And when they punted the ball back, I knew that Clemson was scoring. And he went right down the field. He plays 85 yards. Jordan Leggett, 32-yard pass to Deshaun Watson, two-point conversion. And then really what hurt Louisville was illegal. They drive down the field, but there's illegal procedure penalties that plagued them all game long. And it happened, and their driving happened near the goal line. And they were stopped short. The wide receiver didn't really cut back. He should have cut back. And he stopped the yard short. He runs out of bounds when they were near the goal line. If he cuts back, they may get the first down. And then they would have won the game. Now, the Tennessee game. Tennessee and Georgia. It was some great plays, and it was a comedy of errors, but they all made for a great game. And I'm going to tell you, Georgia started out like a house on fire, 17-0. Jacob Eason was big time in this game. Joshua Dobbs finally brings him back near the end of the half, a big touchdown. Then Jalen Hurd, who had fumbled, which changed the momentum. He had fumbled earlier when they could have tied the score at 7, and Georgia comes back on a drive. And I thought that was going to be something they would never forget. But Tennessee was able to score quickly after Georgia scores to make it 24-14. Tennessee comes right back with Alvin Kamara gets a 16-yard pass from Joshua Dobbs. Then Corey Vereen gets a fumble recovery after they sack Jacob Eason in the end zone. And in the fourth quarter, you think that the game is sealed. But Tennessee plays the absolute dumbest, and I mean dumbest, pass coverage with 57 seconds left. Jacob Eason throws the ball 47 yards to Riley Ridley. They're playing bump and run coverage on Riley Ridley, and the safety wasn't far enough back. You give up passes underneath with 57 seconds left and no timeouts, and you let them go the long field. You do not play bump and run coverage on Ridley, who flew past the corner, flew past the safety, and Jacob Eason threw an absolute dime in the end zone to give Georgia the lead. I'm thinking the game is over, and Tennessee is going to regret this game. But there was an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty in the end zone, celebration penalty. You got to control yourself on Georgia. Then it was a 5-yard offside penalty. Tennessee gets a good kickoff return, which sets up with 10 seconds left. They have an opportunity at the 43-yard line from Georgia for a Hail Mary. Joshua Dobbs throws the ball up. Jawan Jennings jumps up at the highest point, catches it, nobody on Georgia looks at the ball to knock it down. The cornerbacks do not do that anymore. You don't have the Deion Sanders anymore that could see the football. They catch it. They win the game. They're 5-0. They're on their way. They play Texas A&M next week. Georgia has to fall back a little. Tennessee's in the driver's seat. If they could split these games with Texas A&M or Alabama, if they lose one of them, they're okay. But even if they lose both, they may be okay because I think Georgia's going to lose. I think Florida's going to lose to Arkansas. So Tennessee could still come out of the East. A two-loss SEC team is coming. Go to play in the playoffs. So the SEC is just incredibly tough. The SEC and the ACC are head and shoulders above every conference in the NCAA. I believe that if Louisville runs the table, they will, and Washington loses. If Washington wins, you're going to have a Pac-12 team in, and you're going to have an SEC team. You're going to have a Big Ten team because Michigan, Ohio State, that winner will end up playing for the championship in the Four-team playoff. But if Washington loses, I'm eliminating the Pac-12. Forget the Big 12. They can't play in defense. I don't believe if Baylor's going to lose a game. I don't even want to think about Oklahoma or TCU after that nonsense I watched where Oklahoma was up 49-25 against TCU, and TCU almost comes back, and they could have won if it weren't for a bad call and some horrible play calling. So forget the Big 12. But what I'm not going to do is forget Louisville. If Louisville could run the table, beat an undefeated Houston, they deserve to get in. I don't care about the committee saying you want a conference championship team in. This year is different. You got to go by common sense and the eye test. And the eye test is telling me Louisville, Ohio State, Michigan winner, and the SEC winner, and Clemson, if Clemson could run the table, should be the champ. Now, I'm going to talk more about baseball. I'm going to do a baseball show Friday. But I want to talk about the New York Mets and San Francisco Giants. Before I get to that, I want to break down the Toronto-Baltimore series. I believe Lariano is going to pitch against Stillman. I love the fact that Toronto has the home field advantage for this one-game playoff. And Toronto will win in the Rogers Center. I'm picking them to win, even though I don't sleep on Buck Showalter and the Orioles. I like Toronto to win, and my dream matchup will come to pass. That'll be Texas and Toronto. They do not like each other. Texas never forgot the bat flip. So I am hoping that matchup comes to fruition. I think that's great for baseball. Both teams will be talking about it, and you never know. When you rub it in, you never know the next year. That might come back to bite you. The other matchup will be the Mets versus the Giants, Bumgarner versus Syndergaard. You do not bet against Bumgarner. He's one of the best. The Giants are hot. The Giants have that championship swagger. The Giants could beat the Mets, they could beat the Cubs, they could beat the Dodgers or Nashville winner, then they could go beat the Red Sox or Texas or Cleveland. They can make that run. They're that team that's capable of that. Bruce Bochy, those three championships, that pedigree. But I'm going to go against conventional wisdom and pick the New York Mets at Citi Field. The Mets have had a history of beating aces. I don't know what it is. And losing to guys that they shouldn't lose to in the playoffs and then beating up on the aces. I don't like betting against Bumgarner, but they're traveling to Citi Field. I got a feeling that the Mets are going to beat the Giants. Curtis Granderson is the last leadoff hitter you want to pitch against in the playoffs. He's a nightmare. Forget his average. He can take you deep, or he can get on base, steal bases. There's something about him in the postseason as a leadoff hitter. Now, if Jay Bruce is hitting a little better due to that, you know, Cespedes, he's dangerous. You gotta be real careful with Cespedes. And Jose Reyes is the wild card. God forbid if he gets going, the Mets could be a problem. The only thing that could keep them from going to the World Series, Matt and DeGrom are not healthy, and Matt Harvey's not there. If that rotation was in place, I would pick them to win the whole thing. They're not. I think they could beat the Giants. The Cubs, even if they do get past the Cubs, they wouldn't beat the winner of the Nationals or the Dodgers, I don't think. I just don't think they're healthy enough this year. But they could make a run because, like I said, they got money play. Curtis Granderson has got a little Ricky Henderson in him in the postseason, like a left-handed version where you have to fear him and you better respect him. But the Giants, on the other hand, they have Brandon Belt, they have Pence, they have pedigree. And then Bumgarner can hit. So Bumgarner helps his own cause. And you know, Sergio Romo solidified that back into the bullpen. I said last week the keys to winning in the playoffs. I think the Dodgers and the National Series is going to be terrific with Kershaw and Scherzer and lineup and Daniel Murphy. You know how hot he gets. And the Dodgers have a good young team. I like what Dave Roberts did. They instilled the mental toughness. The Red Sox in Cleveland, I think they're going to split in Cleveland. I think the Red Sox have to win the back end. I think David Price is going to win a playoff game this year for the Red Sox. If it goes to Game 5 in Cleveland getting the home field was big. If they get a Game 5 in Cleveland, the Tribe could get Boston. I'm going to pick Boston to 4 to be safe because of just their overall team and Big Poppy and Haley Ramirez and Betts and Bogarts. It's just their lineup. It's difficult how tough they are in late innings. They solidified their back end in the bullpen. This is looking like Boston and Texas. And then on the other end, I'm not sure. There's so many. The National League is so tightly contested, it's hard to tell. So Friday I'll have a better sample size and a better idea who's going to come out of the National League.